bollocks.
Hello and welcome to Unclassical.
Hello everybody, welcome back to the final episode of Around the World. Wow, Kate is burping hard. We just had a lot of dinner.
Yeah.
Around the World in 80 Days, episode 5. Yes, I know where we are.
I'm Katie.
Oh, I'm Marcia. Yes.
It's one job, man. Rather than writing the whole script as well, I'm editing it as well.
But
Facebook page.
We don't have Facebook. Well, we do.
Which automatically updates with the Instagrams.
I mean, I don't even fucking know. Like, yeah, if it's still linked, I don't know.
It is. Yeah. I'm aware.
Oh, well done, Katie, for having a job.
I mean, I'm not just here for the comedic timing.
I was about to say, this is a 50% plonk cast this week, because Marcia has drunk nearly a whole bottle of wine. Nearly, not quite. Katie has had nada. But Katie's very tired.
Katie has driven to and from Bournemouth, which doesn't mean a lot to you because you don't know where I live.
Oh, we've dropped it so many times. Yeah, I swear we could recite like the address and then where it is, because the address doesn't really take you to where you live. So
please don't come to my house. I'm glad the address doesn't take you there. But yeah, so I was like an hour and a half there, hour and a half back. Also, like, people's leaving drinks at a full team meeting. I'm tired now.
It's been a lot for Katie.
And I had to go like out of my way to go get petrol because my sat nav was like, do you want to go to Aberdeen for petrol? And I was like, well, obviously not. And I was like, your nearest petrol station's 20 minutes away. And I'm like, I bet it's not. And it's back the way you've just come. I bet it's not, but I don't have time to fuck because I'm already on the line.
Like, fine. I played proper like hardball with mine the other day. Mm. So the light came on as I was coming into my car park.
Mm.
And then I was like, I cannot be fucked to get up early to go get fuel before work.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to drive to work. But I used to drive a diesel. I now drive a petrol. So it doesn't last as long. Mm. And I was like, I've never, you know, danced this close to the wind before. Exciting. So I drove to work, got there. And then I had to go pick some stuff up for work in the afternoon. So I drove out, went to the nearest petrol station. It ain't got no petrol. Ooh. Ironically, it had diesel. And this was kind of nice when I drove a diesel because I'd always be in that situation. And I was like, oh, you're no longer in this camp.
This is no longer my game.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, where's the nearest one? And went round and I got fuel and it was okay. But I'm still like, you know when you're working out how melodramatic your car is?
Yeah.
Because mine's on a digital thing now, and before it was on like a dial thing.
Yeah.
Like a lap past Patu's watch. I don't know how dramatic she is.
That's the thing, it's the worry. And until you've had it run out, which I've never experienced, I've never quite let it get there. You don't know. And that's the thing. I was like, it's late at night. If I get stranded on the fucking motorway, what the fuck do... And like, also, I don't have a charger in my car because I've been using my car as a sat nav all day. I was down to like 30% probably at that point. I'm like, that's not a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, that's pretty fucky territory to get stranded. And I was like, I'm not going to
play. Do you remember
that.
Jay?
With your ex?
Yeah, my ex. You're disgusting.
Yeah.
He came to pick me up from the airport when I got back from Australia, and his car ran out of fuel on the way home, and we were on the verge of breaking up anyway. I could have fucking strangled that cunt.
Yeah, fuck that.
And he was a mechanic as well. I remember talking to Naomi about it, and she was like, so he's a mechanic and he ran out of fuel. Isn't that like the bare minimum?
That makes me so angry.
I know.
There is nothing like wanting to go home after a trip as well.
We had to walk to the nearest petrol station, and because I got in at like, I don't know, let's say like 5 in the morning, we had to wait 2 hours for it to open at 7.
What a kudo.
I think it was at that point where I was like, well, we're probably going to break up in like the next couple of weeks, so let's not make it over this.
I don't know, I feel like I'd make it over there in that moment.
I know. I don't know why, with like hindsight, I was so chill.
I'm just exhausted, probably.
I had seen a celebrity I liked on the plane. Maybe that helped. Anyway.
Who?
Laura Marling.
Oh, I like Laura Marling.
I know. And we spoke to her in the lift.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
Was she nice?
She was just like, oh.
She didn't punch me in the face.
Yeah, exactly. And it was a long flight and there'd been a long delay in Singapore. So, she's very nice.
Oh, cool.
That was the one where, so the flight was delayed. Sorry, guys, I don't know if this is interesting. But the flight was delayed by like, 3 hours or something. And I fell asleep in Singapore airport, woke up, forgot I'd been delayed, looked at my clock and obviously saw that, you know, like I'd missed it by
an hour. You had to pass for 2 moments.
I did. Missed it by like an hour. Went running to the gate. And because I looked so worried, all like the, and they're so sweet at the airport, but all like the air staff were like, oh my God, sorry, what flight? What flight? Come through, come through, come through. And they saw my ticket and they were like, no, it's delayed. That's why like 200 people are waiting that you've been waiting with supposedly for like 2 hours. And I was like, oh yeah, shit. I was very tired. Right. Final installment of Around the World in 80 Days.
If we ever get to it.
Do you remember where we got to last time? Do you remember what happened? You only really need to remember. It was basically racist, racist, racist. Where are they now?
Now they are on the boat back to... Oh no, fuck, they missed the boat!
Yeah.
They were on the train. Mm-hmm. And Passepartout is like, we're not friends to fix, because he's like, I don't like you.
I don't like you! So they've already been friends for a little while. They were on the...
They're not friends.
They're not friends. They were on the... Train or boat, I can't remember. But basically, Fix was like, it's in my best interests to get Phileas Fogg back to the UK now, so I can arrest his ass. And then they went to America, and they met
the Yankee Doodle.
Yeah, Colonel Stamp W. Proctor. And he got all involved in their whist game and everything. They were going to have a shootout, but then it got hella racist.
It did get very racist, very problematic.
Yeah, yeah.
Then they...
They went on a sledge with a sail.
And I bet they wished they had their elephant.
Yeah, across America.
And then they missed their connecting boat by like an hour. Like, oh!
Yeah. They're in New York now, aren't they? Yeah, New York to live... Liverpool, yeah, they missed the China by like 45 minutes. So at the moment we're in Liverpool, we're fucked off. That's where we are.
Liverpool, US.
Yes. Oh, sorry.
They're in New York at the moment.
Guys, this is where it's going to become apparent that I've drunk nearly a bottle of wine and Katie has not. They are in New York, USA.
Because you said Liverpool, America did steal a lot of place names from us. That could be a Liverpool, America.
Yeah, there is someone from Cardiff in a bit, and
there's New Hampshire,
and they're like, "Is Cardiff America?" And I'm like, "Wait, why did you do this?"
Yeah.
Anyway, so the Chinese departure seemed to signal the end of all of Phileas Fogg's hopes, because he was relying on that.
He was relying on that.
So,
this was modern day. You get a plane.
Yeah.
We've been doing this. Horsing around the world in 80 Daisy pillows.
Yeah. So, well, they get some hotel rooms on Broadway. And just
nice.
Of,
like,
I know.
Did they go to the theatre?
They didn't, no.
You sad fuck.
Yeah, for, they're just going to get...
What's Phileas Fogg? That's his
name. Phileas Fogg. He fobbed it off. Anyway, so it went quickly for Phileas Fogg.
Passepartout would like to go to the theatre.
He'd like to see some more long noses, where he doesn't have to perform.
Yeah, he'd like to see the show. He thinks it looks good, but it's difficult to see when you're in it.
Yeah, exactly. They appreciate it from the other side. Yeah. Maybe the long noses, because they were touring and going to America, are there.
Oh, that'd be nice
cool.
For Passepartout. They're a reconnection. Cool. I don't want to talk to my boss, though. He's angry with me.
Yeah, Batacar is still real furious.
He does not like me.
So it went quickly for Phileas Fogg, who slept soundly, this is in their hotel, but it went much more slowly for Mrs. Ayuda and her companions, whose minds were so agitated that they didn't get much rest. As always, Phileas Fogg is just like, well, I'll figure out, won't it? And everyone else is like, will it?
Why? I mean, I can tell you why. It's because he's a white man.
Mm-hmm.
The confidence and just belief of white men is like, well, work out. Like, oh, you've had it work out enough, haven't you? Plenty of times in your life, little privileged person.
Yep. So Fogg wakes up later and tells everyone to just sort of chill out, relax, and he heads out alone to the banks of the Hudson to sort of like come up with another plan.
Also, like, why are the rest stressing? Like, Fix is like, okay, well, he's losing his money.
I'm
still gonna arrest him, so fuck it. Passepartout
is just really invested in his master, and Ayuda, she's in love, but she doesn't realize that.
But again, it's like, I can understand Ayuda being upset if he was upset, because he's chill, and you'd be like, well, he's clearly chill.
Yeah, it
like,
doesn't matter. Doesn't mind.
It's the same for Passepartout. You'd be like, well, he's clearly chill and I'm invested in him. But
yeah. I think they all know he's a bit neurodivergent and are just like, well, he doesn't show stress, but I do.
feel like after the day they've had, I'd probably also get, catch a kip.
Yeah.
Also, I'm a very worried person, so who knows?
Yeah, I think they'd like to, but they can't. So anyway, he gets a little rowboat and he rows out to a steamer that's just like...
a robot, and I was like, excellent.
Excellent. I was going to do a Star Wars joke, but I don't know the characters.
Yes, all right, neither do I.
He gets the Star Wars robot. R1-D2.
R2-D2.
You know, get you. R2-D2.
Or C-3PO.
Or C-3PO.
Or BB-8. That's another one from the newer ones.
There you go. Katie knows.
I'm out of droids.
Well, you called them droids. You know more than I do. He got all of them.
I'm just so dead.
So he rides out to an iron steamer and greets the captain.
Steamer.
Are you the captain? Asks Phileas Fogg.
No.
That's me. Sorry. American, New York, that's me. I'm Phileas Fogg from London. I'm Andrew Speedy from Cardiff. Are you about to leave? In an hour.
Are you like your name?
Are you Speedy like your name? Where are you making for? Bordeaux. And what are you carrying? Stones in the belly. No freight. Leaving with the ballast. I've no idea what that means. So, okay.
Bodies? The dead? Are you a murderer?
Are you a murderer? Do you have any passengers? No passengers.
Not living
ones. Yeah, never take passengers. Too cumbersome. Too argumentative. Does your ship go well? 11 to 12 knot. The Henrietta. Well known. Will you take me there and three other people to Liverpool? To Liverpool? Why not China? I said Liverpool.
Liverpool?
Liverpool? No. I'm leaving for Bordeaux, and Bordeaux is where I'm going. At any price. At any price. The captain had spoken and wasn't to be contradicted. But the owners of the Henrietta, continued Phileas Fogg. The owner's me, replied the captain.
And it's so rude.
Yeah, and it's my ship.
Fuck off.
I'll charter it from you. No. I'll buy it from you. No. Phileas Fogg didn't bat an eyelid.
Phileas, pick someone else.
So far, the gentleman's money had always been able to overcome obstacles. This time, money didn't work.
I'll kill you.
I'll stab you in the fucking eye.
I don't stir stress very well, but believe me, I'm very, very stressed. I'll kill you. Give me your boat.
Nevertheless, it was essential to find a way of crossing the Atlantic by boat, unless they could get in a hot air balloon, which would have been very risky and in any case was not practical.
Oh, why'd you put on the front cover?
This is the only reference to them going in a hot air balloon. This is it. Why is it like the image? So when you say around the world in 80 days...
picture them in a hot air balloon.
Why?
Because it's a more aesthetically pleasing mode of transport than all the others.
Okay, you got me there.
I was going to say, it's not a valid reason. If I were the artist, I'd probably be slightly less invested, and I'd rather draw a hot air balloon, to be fair, than a fucking train. Trains are boring.
I'd draw Ayuda and her champagne flute waist.
Oh my god, yeah, haunting. But if I were the author and like I saw the front cover, I'd be like, it's not really in the story though, is it?
Yeah, no.
You could have drawn a really racist scene on the front cover. Why didn't you draw that?
You could have drawn them on the elephant.
That would have been a good one.
It's a nice image.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, problematic for modern standards, but back then, it's nice.
It's exotic.
I have to apologise, guys. So next to us on the shelf we're recording to, there is my drink glasses collection. I keep hearing it ring because of my voice. I hope it's not picking up. I'm sharp, fucking shrill. Didn't do it then. I can hear it. Can you? After me?
No.
Oh, maybe I'm just on drugs.
Mwah. Mwah, 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 mwah.
You have to go high pitch like this.
Scary.
Anyway, what apologies.
Would you do if you still looked behind you over that way and there was just like a ghost face, like, hey.
I'd scream. I'm quite drunk.
No.
Absolutely not. Right. So, anyway, silly Fogg, and he hasn't given up. Well then, will you take me to Bordeaux? No, not even if you pay me $200. I'm paying you $2,000. Per person? Per person.
I feel you're getting silly with your money now, Fogg.
And there are four of you? Four. Captain Speedy began to scratch his forehead as if he was intent on tearing off all the skin off it.
Where's Bordeaux?
France. Okay. You're geography, man. After this, we're going to do the Atlas.
I know where where Bordeaux is. There just could be a sad listener out there who doesn't know. So I'm just, what's the word? Expositioning for the audience.
So let's do some maths with Katie. So
geography with Katie.
So Fogg is willing to pay 2,000 per head per four passengers.
Eight.
Well done. So earning £8,000 without changing his route made it worth putting aside his aversion to having passengers on board. In any case, passengers at $2,000 a head are no longer passengers, but valuable cargo. I'm leaving at 9 o'clock, he said briefly.
And are you planning to randomly leave earlier than that?
Because I've had a lot of experience with that.
And I'm doing my bloody head in.
To be fair. All right, you said 9. That's a gentleman's agreement.
When you say 9, do you secretly mean like 12?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what is that?
What is it? What is with you guys?
Why do you leave at random times? Like, oh, well, you know, a lot of boats were leaving late, so we sent some early. Was anyone fucking on it?
Yeah, fucking stab you, you cunt.
I cannot begin to express how much I'm going to hurt you. Well, you're not, because I'll be in Bordeaux and you'll be here. It's valid. I'll hunt you down. I'll kick you. I've forgotten what happened with him and Yankee Doodle.
Oh.
They just have a punch-up.
No, not even that. The Native Americans attacked the train, and then
that was the point that
Pretty sure I might have left it out. I'm pretty sure there's a bit where he's like, "You fight well for an English dude," and he's like, "You fight quite well for an American. Let's call it quits." And they're like, "All right, all right."
They made out.
Yeah, pretty much. And if you and yours aren't there by 9 o'clock, we'll be on board. If you're leaving at 9 o'clock, you fucker.
Actually. So one more time, it's 9 o'clock. You're
9 o'clock
tonight.
It is 8:30 now. So in half an hour.
Not a sneaky 15 minutes.
No, half an hour. We're going.
Right.
To Bordeaux from New York.
What?
I'm going to be in half an hour.
I'm going to be right. I'm going to get my people and I'm going to be back. All right. If you're not here, it's a
god. Oh my god, you're not getting the 8,000. I'm not paying you till it's done.
I'll punch you. In the fucking face.
So he goes and like gets them all together, and they all get on the boat, and he's also paying for Fix.
No. What? No. Firstly, no. Secondly, no. Thirdly, no again. And fourthly, why? Look, I extended an arm of help towards you because I thought you were also in a sticky situation. Can you leave?
Can you leave now?
You're not. You're not my friend.
He's really not got infinite money.
No. He's like swiftly running out.
Yep.
Like, also, I appreciate we've established that Fix is stupid. Mm. But is he not just like, oh, how much money does Fix think he's stolen again?
God, now you're
I swear it was like £3,000
or something. No, it's more than that. It's like, I can't remember. But he thinks he's spent 7,000. So it is really encroaching on what he's going to get. I can't remember. So it is making it not very profitable for Fix at this point.
No.
So stupid.
Getting the journey home paid is profitable, I suppose, for him. But it's just like, why are you doing this
for? Oh, and when Passepartout hears about how much he spent to get him on this ship,
Master, are you sure?
He says, oh, and it goes through every interval on the descending chromatic scale.
Oh.
That's a lot of money, Master.
That's a lot of money.
So, they're on the boat. They're heading to Bordeaux from New York. At midday on the following day, the 30th of December, a man climbed onto the bridge to take the ship's bearings. It would seem safe to assume that this man was Captain Speedy. Nothing could be further from the truth.
Oh, fuck off!
It was Phileas Fogg, Esquire.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say that Speedy drove really slowly. That's why I was upset.
Captain Speedy, meanwhile, was quite simply locked up in his cabin and was howling away, giving vent to quite an understandable anger that was reaching fever pitch. What had happened was perfectly simple. Phileas Fogg wanted to get to Liverpool, but the captain didn't want to take him there. Phileas Fogg had then agreed to travel to Bordeaux, and during the 30 hours he had been on board, he had put his banknotes to work so effectively that the crew, the sailors and the stokers, a motley collection of individuals who were on pretty bad terms with the captain, had been won over. This is why Phileas Fogg was in command instead of Captain Speedy.
Funny.
Why the captain was locked up in his cabin. And lastly, why the Henrietta was heading for Liverpool. Excellent. It was, though, very clear from the way he set about things that Mr. Fogg had been a sailor. He'd been a fucking pirate! Sorry.
He was a pirate.
This is such white man above the law. Like, you have literally, you are doing piracy right now, sir.
But I've paid for it.
You've paid some of them. You have incited mutiny.
Funny.
Like, you have commandeered a group of rebels.
I mean, obviously it's not cool, but it's funny.
Also, I can see why Captain Speed doesn't like passengers. You fuckers.
Yeah, that is a bad rep for all passengers. And like 10 years time, like, oh, go on, just one quick trip. No,
I let passengers on again. They locked me in the fucking brig.
You know how long it takes to get from New York to Liverpool? I sure don't. Yeah. I didn't see daylight.
I have fucking PTSD from it, you cunt.
No passengers. No. I sail alone. No crew either.
Yeah, just me and my
bunch
robot.
Of shit.
So it was too early to tell how things would work out. However, Mrs. Ayuda was worried, without letting it show, of course.
That would have been ugly. Yeah. So she has to stay pretty.
Yeah. Fix had simply been dumbfounded to start with. As for Passepartout, he found the whole thing absolutely wonderful.
That's well funny. Look him up.
Look him up. Oh, well done, master.
That's really funny. Now let's go get the shuffleboard, yeah?
What's a shuffleboard?
Chef on board.
Oh, that makes way more sense.
They can go get a shuffleboard. I don't know what it is. Sounds like a fun game, though.
I feel it's like a big skateboard.
Yeah. Like a skateboard for which one could shuffle on.
Yes, exactly. Oh, was it the one that you kind of wiggle on?
I have no fucking idea.
Oh, I don't know. Anyway.
I don't know. I don't know what Bardo is.
So, right, there's Bardo.
Bardo's a type of top.
Yes, it is. Bordeaux is a type of red wine.
It's boring.
Right. It's all right.
So what you're drinking? Are you bored?
I don't know what I'm drinking.
Are you bored out?
What
was it someone said today? We're talking about like ideal holiday destinations. And someone was like, oh, I'd want to go to Bora Bora. And she was like, is it Bora Boring? That's funny.
Hilarious. So, right. They're at sea and it's day 75. And the ship was stocked to travel to Bordeaux at normal speed, not Liverpool at full speed.
My geography's not the best.
I looked it up, so it is really admissible. I think the thing is like full steam versus low steam.
Yeah.
But yeah, Bordeaux is kind of, you know, a straightish line.
Yeah.
And then to get to Liverpool, they like have to go up. Like north, because they have to go between Ireland and the UK.
I have a question.
Yeah.
As he's already commandeering the ship, and he could go anywhere in the UK, why don't they go fucking Thames and go back to London? Which is like closer to Bordeaux than Liverpool.
Liverpool is north of London. They'd have to literally go past it.
Yeah.
I mean, stuff happens in the interim that, you know, means they don't.
I'm sure he can get a connecting train that isn't Liverpool to London. I'm sure he can get another.
Yeah. That's such a good point, mate.
Yeah. Go to Plymouth.
You fucking dick.
Idiot. So stupid.
Well, you need to it. So this is finished.
Question, why are we going to Liverpool? Because that's where the other ship was going. Yeah, but why are we going to Liverpool?
Yeah. I could go anywhere.
Why the fucking London? Idiot.
Dick. Stuff happens time before back. That point, spoilers, but yeah, why is your plan Liverpool?
Stupid.
They're just gonna sail past London.
That's our stuff.
Oh, wait, no, they're
there
not.
They go. Well, not go past, but they could go to Plymouth, which is a closer port.
Or they could go up the Thames, yeah. Up, like, the UK's bumhole.
Exactly. I don't know which one works out quicker. I mean, knowing our trains, you probably go quicker to, you know,
what I think.
Do
I
a
think
tour of the
whole... The longer you can be on sea with your own pirate ship, the better.
Yeah, so, yeah, they could literally go up the Thames then.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Anyway.
I didn't do that!
So this is Fogg to, like, the crew of the ship. Are you sure that what you're saying is true? Absolutely certain, sir, replied the engineer. Don't forget that since we set out, we've been going full blast. And even if we had enough coal to go low steam from New York to Bordeaux, we don't have enough to go full steam from New York to Liverpool. I shall decide what to do next, replied Mr. Fogg. Passepartout had understood. He suddenly became extremely worried. They were going to run out of coal.
Get the oars, lads.
Get the oars. So what would Phileas...
I should start hoisting seagulls. They should lead us through.
Yeah, like James and Giant Peach. Yeah. So what would Phileas Fogg's decision be? The phlegmatic gentleman seemed to have made up his mind, because that very evening he sent for the engineer and said to him, stoke up the boilers and go full steam ahead until there's no fuel left. A few moments later, the Henrietta's funnel was belching out clouds of smoke. Don't say belching, it sounds gross.
It does sound gross.
And that's coming from me, and I am gross.
Yeah.
So the ship continued on course at full steam. But just as he had warned, 2 days later, the 18th, the engineer announced that they would run out of coal during that day. I kind of feel you should have had a plan in place.
I kind of feel also you should have reserves of coal.
Yes, but they... Because they're going full steam, I feel like it's safe to say they're using double and a third what they had anticipated. Fair.
I mean,
I pulled that figure out of my ass.
Oh, yeah. But also, like, yeah, you know, paying for coal and everything is expensive. And going faster costs more coal. Also sounds well boring not to go at full speed.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, yeah, just plodding along.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Phileas Fogg sent for Passepartout and told him to go fetch Captain Speedy. It was like telling the good fellow to go and unleash a tiger.
I don't want to say Nommy.
Nommy.
Send Fix. We don't like Fix.
And he went down to the poop deck and saying to himself, he's going to go absolutely berserk.
Oh, he is not going to like this one, you know. I don't know how to glass this over. Fix, you want to come chat to this man, my friend?
Yeah, he said, you're so good with people, Fix.
You're so good with people, Fix. Come chat to Speedy.
Yeah. A few minutes later, amid shouting and swearing, a bomb duly landed on the poop deck. So funny. The bomb...
was an absolute steamer.
Yeah, was Captain Speedy. It was obvious that he was about to explode.
Oh, yeah.
Where are we?
That is the sea, and that is the sky.
770 miles east of Liverpool, replied Mr. Fogg, with total composure. Pirate! Exclaimed Andrew Speedy. Yes.
That's valid.
I sent for you, sir. Sea! Oh, sorry, I've made him English. Pirate! I sent for you, sir. Sea rover!
I say sea rodent.
Sir, continued Mr. Fogg, to ask you to sell me your ship. No!
No!
Like hell, no! The fact is that I'm going to have to burn it. Burn my ship. Yes. At least the upper works, because we're running out of fuel.
I swear to God. Fog, I'll kill you.
Burn my ship!
That you stole and drove too fast, so now we're out of coal in the middle of the fucking Atlantic! Is it the Atlantic?
A ship worth $50,000! Here's $60,000, replied Phileas Fogg, handing the captain a wad of banknotes.
Is he handing him pounds? Because they're worth more than dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I assume they are still at this era.
Yeah, yeah.
They're worth even more!
Well, they are, because he didn't set off with, like, 50,000 himself with like 20,000, didn't he? So yeah, so he's handed him 60,000. The effect on Andrew Speedy was spectacular. No true American can fail to be moved by the sight of $60,000. His ship was 20 years old. This deal was worth a packet. The bomb was no longer going to explode. Mr. Fogg had removed the fuse.
It's amazing what money can do.
But I still have the iron hull left, he said, sounding remarkably calmer. The iron hull and the machinery, sir. Are we agreed? Agreed.
Let's burn it.
Let's fucking burn this mother
fire
down.
Ship. No! I'm going to set it on fire. I can't believe you.
You locked me in my brig and you're going to set fire to my ship?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, it's my ship.
It's my ship now.
No, I'm not going to set fire to your ship. Thank God. I'm going to set fire to my ship.
Yeah, exactly.
What's selling? Oh my God. You're so annoying.
Do you know something, Captain... Fogg, Captain Fogg. Well, there's a bit of the Yankee about you.
I'm so rude.
Yeah, it was just like, that was intended as a compliment. And Fogg's like, Charmed.
Brilliant.
So the following day, the 19th of December, they burnt the masting, the spare masts and yards and the spars. Fuck knows what that means.
You have a spare yard, mast, but you didn't bring enough coal.
Yeah. They chopped down the masts and cut them up with axes. The crew set upon their task with incredible energy.
For such a clever man as is our lovely Fogg. Mm. A, why is he still going to Liverpool?
Mm.
B, he knew he was going to be going faster. He's splashing the cash. He should have bought some extra fuel.
He should have. Passepartout was slicing, cutting and soaring away, doing the work of 10 men. It was an orgy of obstruction.
Is that really the word they had to use?
Apparently.
I don't like that word.
I don't care for it. So
I don't like... It gives me horrible images of the bits of wood all slithering over each other.
So the day after, the 20th of December, they burnt more. Skip that bit. And then, however, by 10 o'clock in the evening, the ship was still off Queenstown. Now, Queenstown is County Cork, Ireland. So they're coming into Ireland.
It's a Cornwall.
Phileas Fogg had only 24 hours left to get to London because it's the 20th now.
Oh my God, just go fucking to London then. Why are you going to... You think that in the UK, you can rely on the trains to get you from Liverpool to London 24 hours. I mean, not, not, it could happen.
It could happen.
You would rely on that? Oh,
you stupid, stupid man. That was precisely how long it would take Henrietta to get to Liverpool.
Why? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm so annoyed.
Even if it went at full steam.
Stop it.
So obviously
just
they're going
to... Just go to London. Why are you going extra far?
Well, they're coming into Ireland now and they're like, we're fucked even if we try to get to UK's mainland. So the steam was just about what the daring gentleman was running out of. Sir, Captain Speedy said to him, and now he had come round to showing an interest in his plans. I feel really sorry for you. Everything's against you. We're still no further than Queenstown. Ah, said Mr. Fogg. Is that the town we can see, where the lights are coming from? Yes. Can we enter the harbour? Not for another 3 hours, only at high tide. Let's wait, then. Phileas Fogg replied calmly, without letting it show in his face, that he was about to attempt once again to overcome his bad luck by another masterstroke.
Throw money at the problem until it goes away. Well, seems to be his general approach.
Generally.
And it's not what it's been thought so far. Stupid!
Queenstown. It's not just prostitute.
Yeah, what's going on in Queenstown?
As it happens, a port on the Irish coast where transatlantic liners from the United States drops off their mailbags. These letters are taken to Dublin by express trains that are always ready and waiting. From Dublin, they go to Liverpool via high-speed steamers.
Oh, do they?
Cutting 12 hours off the time taken by the fastest vessels of the shipping companies. So, yeah, they do that. Express train to Dublin, steamer from Dublin to Liverpool, and then they get into Liverpool.
This journey makes sense why they have to go to Liverpool. Original plan does not.
It's stupid. So they arrive in Liverpool. It's 11:40 a.m. on the 21st of December. They need to be at the club in London on the 21st of December at 8:45 p.m. That is 8 hours and 5 minutes from now.
You think the trains will do that for you? I don't.
They are 6 hours. So the train takes 6 hours from London, so they should be able to do it with, like, 2 hours to spare. Should. But at that moment, the second they land in Liverpool, Fix went up to him.
Oh, fuck off, Fix!
Put his hand on his shoulder and, showing him his warrant, said, "You are Phileas Fogg, aren't you?" "Yes, sir."
Push him off.
"In the name of Her Majesty the Queen, I arrest you."
Just push him off the dock. I took you around the world with me. I'm going to kill you.
Would you like to pay for a fucking ticket, Fix?
Yeah.
Like, fucking freeloading cunt.
Yeah, you freeloading bastard. Push him off the pier.
Phileas Fogg was in prison in Liverpool. As for Fix, he had arrested the gentleman because his sense of duty told him to do so.
Oh, fuck off, Fix. You're so annoying.
It's such a job's worth. Irrespective
of... Just because you have literally nothing else fun going on in your life. Just because you're that kind of boring person.
Irrespective of whether or not he was guilty, the courts would describe that.
Oh, no. Fuck off.
They would decide that.
Yeah.
But then something occurred to Passepartout. The terrible thought that he was the cause of this whole disaster.
Yeah. Yeah, you should have killed Fix when you had the chance.
Why on earth had he concealed the situation from Mr. Fogg when Fix had revealed that he was a police inspector and that his task was to arrest Mr. Fogg?
Yeah.
Why had he taken it upon himself not to alert his master?
Yeah, why?
If he had warned him...
And let him just carry on with them.
His master would certainly have given Fix proof of his innocence and would have shown him his error. In any case, he wouldn't have dragged the wretched detective behind him all round the world at his own expense when the man's main concern was to arrest him the moment they set foot on British soil.
Yeah, what the fuck, Passepartout?
That was a strange choice for you, Passepartout.
Just explaining this to Ayuda, like... Yeah, I don't understand why you did that. That was really dumb.
That... Yeah, you knew?
That might be after deciding not to go to still continue on to Liverpool when we could have just gone straight to London.
Yeah.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Dumbest shit I've literally ever heard. So
I'm going back to India. They try and kill me over that. It's annoying than you stupid boys.
Yeah. So Fogg's in prison. Passepartout and Ayuda are waiting outside the prison. So Fogg is just sitting in his cell waiting. He hears a clock strike one. He notices it's 2 minutes fast. He then
How?
Because he's still got his watch.
Okay.
And obviously his time's correct.
Passepartout
hears
the clock.
No, Fogg, he's also got a watch. Do you remember right at the beginning, Fogg said Passepartout's watch was fast or slow, yeah. And Passepartout was like, no, they're both really weird about their watches.
Okay, so, that's weird.
Yeah, Fogg notices that the clock he hears strike one is 2 minutes fast, and then he hears it again later, strike two. And at 2:33, a commotion outside. The noise of doors being flung open. Passepartout's voice could be heard and Fix's. Phileas Fogg's face lit up for a moment. The cell door flew open and he saw Mrs. Ayuda, Passepartout and Fix rushing towards him. Fix was out of breath, his hair all over the place.
Good.
He was unable to speak properly. Sir, sorry. Unfortunate likeness. Thief. Arrested 3 days ago. You. Free.
Good. So, you already ruined everything, Fix.
You did.
Punch him in the face.
Phileas. So, literally, go. Just don't even punch him in the face. Just fucking go.
Passepartout, punch him.
Yeah. Phileas Fogg was free. He went up to the detective. He looked him straight in the eye. And with the only rapid movement he had ever made or would ever make in his life, he swung his fists back and then, with the precision of an automaton, struck the unfortunate inspector with both fists. What does that even look like?
Just a clonk to either side of the head.
Doof.
It's like a volleyball.
Oh yeah. Boof. It's really weird.
In slow motion with like the volleyball beach music as well. Like,
yeah.
Boom, boom. It's flying through the air. I mean, satisfy her. Passepartout was there passing. You were not to fight the way you saw.
You were not to fight. But also, you're going to get fucking arrested for assault. Like, okay. Sorry, he's not American. Okay, you might not have robbed the bank, but you just fucking hit a police officer.
I'll do it again.
I'll do it fucking again.
And this time I'll kill a police officer. You want to let me go?
Well hit, exclaimed Passepartout.
Well was it?
Yeah, he allowed himself an appalling play on words worthy of a true Frenchman. Because well hit. It's translated, doesn't work as well.
I was going to say, That's the same.
That's not a thing.
Well, it's the same.
It's the same. By adding, good heavens, that's what I'd call a striking example of the benefits.
Well, that's funny.
Yeah, of the benefits of an English education. Okay.
I mean, striking, yes. Well hit wasn't.
No,
good.
That was.
That's just. Yeah. Well, you're just saying. Well. Good job.
Yeah, it's the fact he carries on. That's what I call this. Like a Passepartout, we've got to go. Fair enough.
Fair enough. You're right. I'm not Stephen King. I won't bore you with this.
These guys don't know this. We've been discussing our next read.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, Fix, who had been knocked to the floor, didn't say a word. He'd only got what he deserved. He's like, to be fair, I deserve that.
I had that coming. I freeloaded a lot of this guy.
But immediately, Mr. Fogg, Mrs. Ayuda and Passepartout left the custom house. That's the prison thing.
Yeah.
They jumped into a cab and within a few minutes were at Liverpool station. Phileas Fogg asked if there was an express ready to leave for London. It was 2:40. The express had left 35 minutes earlier. Phileas Fogg then ordered a special train. A special train. You can just order a train.
Money.
There were several high-speed locomotives with steam up. That's what it says. But for operating reasons, the special train was unable to leave the station until 3 o'clock. By 3 o'clock, after having a word with the engine driver about a bonus he could earn, Phileas Fogg was speeding off towards London in the company of the young woman and his faithful servant. They needed to cover the distance between Liverpool and London in 5.5 hours. This was a perfectly reasonable proposition where the line was clear all the way, but there were unavoidable delays, and so by the time the gentleman arrived at the station, all the clocks in London were showing 9:10. Needs to be back at 8:45. After completing his journey round the world, Phileas Fogg had arrived in London 5 minutes late. He had lost.
It's a bit embarrassing, isn't it?
Shit.
It's also the fact it's literally 5 minutes. Like, if it was, like, a couple of days, you're like, yeah, I fogged it.
Yeah.
It's the fact it's all Fix's fault.
Yeah. It is. Although
it's a fact, if you, you know, just aimed for...
just generally the 24-hour period. Yeah. Don't be so pernickety. Yeah. So anyway, Fogg's like, should we all just go to mine? And they're like, I guess. So you'll go back there, pass between, get some food. And then they, like, spend the night. And it also, they don't, like, open the windows or anything. So it, from the outside, it looks like no one's there. So the next day, Mr. Fogg called for passepartout and told him in as few words as possible to see Mrs. Ayuda's breakfast was sorted out. All he wanted for himself was a cup of tea and a piece of toast. He would like Mrs. Ayuda to excuse him for lunch and dinner because he needed to devote all his time to putting his affairs in order. He would not be going downstairs. Only in the evening would he ask Mrs. Ayuda's permission to speak to her for a few moments. So passepartout goes up to Mrs. Ayuda and he's like, I cannot help but feel a little bit responsible, huh? And Mrs. Ayuda's like, yeah.
Well, yeah.
And she's like, me too.
Why?
She has this whole thing like, you rescued me. Like, you were unconscious. You didn't consent to it.
Yeah, no. Also... passepartout rescued you.
Yeah, well, hondo.
That's because all of them are.
So Ayuda and passepartout, and they, like, discuss this, and he's like, so he wants to speak to you in the evening. And Ayuda's like, okay, well, let's just, you know, chill till then, and we'll see what he has to say. Because, well, what else are we going to do?
Yeah.
So that evening comes around, it's 7:30, and it goes down like this.
Mm-hmm.
So Fogg, then looking up at Mrs. Ayuda, he said, Madam, will you forgive me for having brought you to England? Forgive you, Mr. Fogg, replied Mrs. Ayuda, struggling to keep her emotions under control. Please allow me to finish, continued Mr. Fogg. When I conceived the idea of taking you far away from your own country, which had become so dangerous for you, I was a wealthy man, and I was expecting to bestow some of that wealth on you. Your life would have been happy and free. Now I am penniless.
I know, Mr. Fogg, and I would like to ask you something in turn. Will you forgive me for having followed you and, who can tell, for perhaps having contributed to your ruin by delaying you?
Madam.
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 It was impossible for you to remain in India, and your safety could only be guaranteed by making sure that you were far enough away not to fall into the hands of those fanatics again.
You're welcome, says passepartout.
Yeah, literally. So, Mr. Fogg, not content to rescue me from a horrible death, you also felt duty-bound to provide for me abroad. Yes, madam, but things have turned out against me. However, I ask to be allowed to bestow on you the little I still have.
But what will become of you, Mr. Fogg? Asked Mrs. Ayuda.
I, madam, the gentleman replied coldly, need nothing.
Well, you do, because you have to live.
Yeah. But how, sir? Will you face the fate that awaits you?
What fate? Ruin?
Only having one servant? You know what they're always like in Jane Austen and Dickens? Yeah. Like, they were in ruin. They only had one servant and a cook.
Everything was terrible. And this beautiful Hampshire house with 12 bedrooms and 3 servants.
Ruined!
And they only attended 2 balls a year.
Oh, what is this?
We are destitute children. Only boiled potatoes, sardines, salmon, cooked broccoli, pudding, and dessert, and ice cream, and also meat for dinner.
Yes, and still go to London regularly to see your rich aunt.
Yes. Oh, that rich bitch. She has sardines 3 times a week. Yeah. We went home from only twice.
Pretty much.
We're ruined.
Pretty much. So
that is all of Jane Austen.
is. But how, sir, will you face the fate that awaits you? In the appropriate way, replied Mr. Fogg.
Jelly deals.
In any case, poverty cannot afflict a person such as you. Your what? Friends.
I have no friends, madam. Your relatives? I have no relatives left. I feel truly sorry for you then, Mr. Fogg.
This is a bit awkward then.
Yeah, because loneliness is a sad thing. No one to pour your heart out to. And yet people say that even poverty is bearable as long as there are two of you. So it is said. So it is said, Madame. Mr. Fogg.
Gross.
Would you like both a relative and a friend? Would you like to have me as your wife?
Not particularly.
Gross. When he heard these words, Mr. Fogg also got to his feet. Oh, she's all right on her feet. There was a sort of unusual gleam in his eyes.
Gross.
And his lips looked as if they were trembling. He said simply, I love you. Yes, truly. By everything that is sacred in the world, I love you. And I am wholly yours. Ah! Exclaimed Mrs. Ayuda, placing her hand on her heart. Passepartout was rung for. He came straight away. Mr. Fogg was holding Mrs. Ayuda's hand in his. Passepartout understood, and his broad face beamed like the midday sun in a tropical sky. Mr. Fogg asked whether it was too late to give notice to the Reverend Samuel Wilson of the parish of Marylebone. Passepartout put on his best smile. Never too late, he said.
I shall bring him here myself. I'll use force if I have to.
It was only 8:05. So,
Did he get the fucking day wrong?
So they send him off to go get the Reverend because they're like, it's 8:05 on Sunday. We can get married tomorrow. It's Monday. Brilliant, great. So off Passepartout trots to go get the vicar. So now we change perspectives and we are back on the 17th of December, and a James Strand has been arrested in Edinburgh for being the bank stealer. And you know what? He does look an awful lot like Fogg. What? A fairly wealthy man.
Pretty much. A fairly wealthy white man.
Pretty much.
And there are, where are we going to find another one of those?
And the men at the Reformation Club, or the Reform Club, have heard nothing of Fogg since he left. And they wonder if he's even going to come back and if he's dead. Or is he just going to show up on the 21st like, banter on him? And like, oh, it's quite exciting. Yeah. So the 21st finally rolls around and there's a big crowd and everyone wants to see what's going to happen. And so they're all sort of like waiting. And then it gets to 8:40 and they're like, lol. He's only got 5 minutes. He's not going to fucking make it, is it? And it gets to 8:43 and they hear a massive commotion outside. At the 57th second, Fogg enters with the jubilant crowd saying, here I am, gentlemen.
Did Fix pull one over?
Well, so what's going on? So at 8:05, 24 hours after the supposed deadline, Passepartout went to see the Reverend. The Reverend's out, Passepartout waits for 20 minutes. And at 8:35, Passepartout emerges from the Reverend's house in a real tizzwads. And he gets back to Savile Row and he collapses out of breath on the floor after running the whole way there. And he's unable to speak. What's the matter? Asked Mr. Fogg. Sorry, I got excited.
Master, stammered Passepartout. Waiting. Impossible.
Impossible?
Impossible for tomorrow.
Why?
Because tomorrow is Sunday.
Monday, replied Mr. Fogg.
No. Today, Saturday.
Saturday?
Impossible.
What?
Yeah.
Get the fucking... I can't run, I'm too excited.
Fucking...
So, yes, yes, exclaimed Passepartout. You are a day out. We arrived 24 hours early, but there were only 10 minutes left.
And Fogg, who had shown no emotion this entire journey, screamed.
Yeah. Passepartout had seized his master by the collar, and he was dragging him off with irresistible force.
I mean, yes. But...
Yeah. I don't have time to explain. Fucking calm.
Fucking get your moving bollocks on.
After being snatched away like this and without having the time to think, Phileas Fogg left his room and his house, jumped into a cab, promised the driver £100 and... you're about to lose all sympathy. No, it's not even funny. And after running over two dogs...
No! That's not funny.
It's not funny.
It's not cool.
It's not cool. And that's where we're going to end this. Because we don't care what happens.
I hope he dies. I hope he gets a first drink of celebration and chokes on it and dies. No, you know what I hope happens? I hope he steps out and some motherfucker with too much money runs him down.
Yeah. Fucker. So, and he bumps into five other carriages. Who cares? And reaches the reform club.
Maybe. Because, like, let's say this. Because they're on horseback. So... And I appreciate there's a horse in front of it, but there's not. So the dogs just went under the body of it, so actually they're fine and the wheels were like either side.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
They did run over
the Yeah, but they
dogs.
Didn't kill them.
Yeah, and the horses just hopped over them because the horses like the dogs. Yeah. That's actually what happened.
That is actually what happened. That's much better.
That's what happened. No dogs are harmed in the making of this episode. Only hugged.
Only hugged and snuggled. Yeah. And they went back and hugged them later and gave them all a bone.
Yeah.
So, they reached the Reform Club. The clock was showing 8:45 when he appeared in the main drawing room. Phileas Fogg had won his £20,000 bet.
And what cost? £20,000.
Yeah. So, what happened? Mm-hmm. The explanation of this mistake is very simple, and here it is. Without realising it, Phileas Fogg had gained a day during his journey, simply because he had gone around the world from west to east, just as he would have lost a day if he had gone the opposite direction from east to west. So, we're about to get on to some dad facts. By travelling eastwards, Phileas Fogg...
Can I just pause you right there? I think we get it.
I think we get it. I'm going to go over this so quickly. Had gone to, and also, I remember explaining this to Psychopath Carl. Mm. And I was like, however, and he was like, when you go the other way around the world, you gain a day. Yeah, it's just a thing all boring men know, kind of. But I explain why it happens. So, by travelling eastwards, Phileas Fogg had gone towards the sun, and therefore the days had become shorter for him by 4 minutes.
Sorry. It's late in the day and I'm very tired. My brain just went... So if I travelled around the world in that direction forever, I'd never get older. No, wait, I still age with the course of time. Yeah. Time is not attached to our lineage of time in the world.
No.
They are different things.
They are.
Damn it.
Damn it.
I have the answer.
I could live forever.
Why has no one done this? Because you're stupid. Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
That would be why. So, by 4 minutes, with every degree of longitude, he crossed in that direction. As the Earth had a circumference of 360 degrees, and these 360 degrees multiplied by 4 minutes give exactly 24 hours, that is, the day he had gained without being aware of it, he should have been aware.
Yeah.
In other words, by going...
He wasn't aware, he could have just gone for fucking London or got more fuel.
In other words, by going eastwards, Phileas Fogg had seen the sun cross the meridian 80 times, whereas his colleagues back in London had only seen it cross 79 times. This is why on that very day, which was Saturday and not a Sunday, as Phileas Fogg thought, these gentlemen were waiting for him in the drawing room of the Reform Club. And this is what Passepartout's famous watch, which was still set on London time, would have told him if it had shown the days as well as the minutes and the hours.
Well, it doesn't, so...
It doesn't, so it didn't.
That's a bit of a moot point there, wasn't it?
It was a little bit. Phileas Fogg...
We shot a Passepartout. Yeah. Stupid argument. My clock would have said this. Does it say that? No.
Phileas Fogg had therefore won £20,000.
Of his own money.
Mm. But as he had spent about £19,000 during his journey, the financial return wasn't very great.
No.
However, as he had already said, what had made this eccentric gentleman take on the bet was the challenge, not the money. He's just bored and rich.
Yeah.
What was more, he divided up the remaining 1,000 between the trusty Passepartout and the unfortunate Fix, to whom he could feel no resentment.
I could.
I feel a little resentment.
I felt resentful. And also, Passepartout, like, I mean, admittedly messed that I probably should have told you that he was a scumbag, but I don't know why I didn't do that. But I feel I did more for you than him.
Wait. The only thing was that on a point of principle, he held back from his servant the cost of 1,920 hours of gas that Passepartout had been responsible for wasting. Do you remember he left his gas lamp on in his room when they left? I also won you the fucking bet because I pointed out you were 24 hours ahead, you cunt.
Yeah.
and you're giving fix. You are giving fix. At the end of this, I don't know why he's going Australian, more money than me. No.
I'd quit. I'd
fucking stab the cunt.
Yeah.
So, anyway, furious.
Yeah. I mean, lucky your house didn't burn. Also, it's a gas lamp. Should we have run out of gas before that point?
Yeah. Maybe it's connected to the mains.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Anyway, the same evening, Mr. Fogg, as impassive and as phlegmatic as ever, said to Mrs. Ayuda, "Are you still prepared to marry me, madame?"
Mr. Fogg!
Why are Victorians so annoying, and like also Edwardians, where they're sort of like, "I love this person." Mr. Last Name!
Yes.
I'm the one who should be asking you this question. You were ruined, but now you're rich.
Well, I used to be richer.
I beg your pardon, madame, but this wealth belongs to you. If you hadn't thought of getting married, my servant wouldn't have gone to the Reverend Samuel Wilson's. I wouldn't have been informed of my error, and I think you mean if it wasn't for Passepartout.
Yeah, there's a lot of Passepartout glossing over.
Yeah, literally.
Also, you saved me, you saved me. Passepartout saved.
Yeah, literally. Dear Mr. Fogg, said the young woman.
Dear Ayuda,
replied Mr. Fogg. It will come as no surprise to learn that the wedding took place 48 hours later on the Monday, and that Passepartout, looking magnificent, resplendent and dazzling, gave her away. After all, hadn't he been the one who rescued her?
Yes!
Yeah, and wasn't this honour owing to him?
No.
Yeah, this is what I put. I was like, don't talk about women owing men shit.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not cute. Like,
just to be clear, I'm not saying he should have ended up with her because she owes him or anything.
Or that he, you know, deserves to give her away.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, she doesn't owe anyone shit.
Just if we're being pedantic, she keeps saying the wrong guy rescued her.
Yeah, literally. It was literally Passepartout.
And also...
Sorry, I fucking fell in front of Katie's face.
Enough out of you.
It was just like, also, boom. And that's enough from Katie.
That's like a proper, like, curtain drop. Oh.
Also, I can't even do it. Can't even recreate it. It just fell so perfectly. Also, boom. I wanted to say more things.
I had more to say, but I have been silenced. I'm sorry. I don't even know what I'm going to say. I've got me. I can't take it away.
Anyway, nevertheless, the following day, at the crack of dawn, Passepartout was banging on his master's door.
I quit. Suck.
The door opened and the impassive gentleman appeared. What's the matter, Passepartout? What's the matter, sir? It's something I've just discovered this minute.
I've just been married. What do you think I'm doing right now?
Which is? That we could have gone around the world in only 79 days. Certainly, replied Mr. Fogg, by not going across India. But if I hadn't gone across India, I wouldn't have rescued Mrs. Ayuda.
I rescued her!
And she wouldn't now be my wife. And... with that, Mr. Fogg quietly closed the door.
I'm busy.
But so did he choose to go across India because he wanted to pick up an Asian wife on his travels?
Ew.
Rich white men never change.
That's the moral. Is that literally the end of the book?
There is a last bit I will read in a second. But
that's so weird.
Just like, we could have done it quicker if I skipped out India, but...
I had my reasons.
Pass me to you. That was fucking dark.
Yeah, that was fucking creepy.
I thought he was going to do it again and have a good time, but that's fucking disturbing.
Right, would you like to hear the closing line?
She looks up like, Ayuda, get out of there!
It was all preconceived. I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't pay the people to torture you.
Yeah. Well, come with me, I'll save you again. I won't force you to marry me.
No.
You can just be mates and travel the world. Yeah. And what money? That's fair.
That's a good point. I can rejoin the long noses.
I'd kill your husband.
Yeah. Isn't that I can hear you.
Kill him. You're something heavy. Quick.
So, what had Phileas Fogg gained from all his travels?
A wife.
What had the journey bought him?
A wife.
Nothing. It
a
can
wife?
Be said.
A
nothing
wife?
That is except for a charming wife.
Okay.
Who, however unlikely it may seem, made him the happiest of men. In all truth, isn't this more than enough reward for going around the world? So he literally went on a trip to get a wife.
Yeah, it's a weird ending message. I mean, like, fine to be like, I happened to meet her and I'm really happy because, yes, I love her. Great, really great.
Yeah.
Cool. But that's not the reason.
It's the fact that if he was like, we could have gone around the world in 79 days. I mean, I suppose maybe he has already. He's like, I've already figured it out, but
I'm happy with how it worked out.
Yeah.
I get that. Yeah. It's just the... And creepily closing the door, like, okay, you're just being weird because you want to go back and shag your wife. Are you being weird because you orchestrated this whole thing?
Yeah, exactly. Are you being weird because you went to go procure a wife? That's fucked up, man.
That's really weird.
That's very
also, sad. I want my money back.
Yeah, literally. Give me at least the same as Fix, you fucking bastard.
Yeah, I gave you the same for Fix originally, and then I took it back for the gas lamp. Like,
you know,
I'll burn your house down.
You know, I was talking about the Steve Coogan version of this.
Yeah.
I was talking about it the other day and like how problematic the book is. And they said the guy that plays Passepartout in that version is Jackie Chan.
Oh.
Yeah. And yeah, it was David. And he was like, yeah, I don't think it's particularly like progressive in its reputation. I was like, yeah, I don't see how it's going to be. No.
Odd. I mean, Passepartout is a lively young thing, but...
I'm guessing Jackie Chan does some sick stunts in it.
Yeah. I mean, that is kind of his whole... It'd be weird to see him do a film where he didn't.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen a Jackie Chan film.
I 100 have, but I couldn't tell you about it.
I watched the Jackie Chan cartoon when I was little.
Oh, yeah, me too.
It was good.
It was quite good.
Yeah. I don't remember much about it, but I remember enjoying it.
I don't think it's true, but have you heard that thing where people are like, Jackie Chan can't speak English?
I swear he does speak English.
They're just like, he learns the lines as they are and just like repeats them for the camera. He can speak English.
Have you seen the thing about, what's her name, Lea Michele, and how she can't read?
Yeah.
That's just funny.
That is funny.
Just replies in emojis like, okay, Leah.
Mum can't read. Our mum loves sending emojis.
Oh, it's cute though, because she puts a lot of thought into the emojis.
She does! And there's like bees and flowers and rainbows.
It's lovely. It's really... Some little stars.
Yeah, and you know how long it must take her to find each individual.
Yeah! It's so cute.
It's really cute. I like
mum. And she put a message in there as well.
Yeah, like, she will. She can read. She can write.
Just the emojis. Looking at you, Leah Michele.
She'll just be like, oh yeah, we took Tilly out for a walk. There'll be a dog emoji, a flower, sun, and a sunshine.
And then a bit of sea.
Yeah.
Lovely.
It's so lovely. And like, and then we came back and had some dinner. I don't know. Maybe she'll put a croissant in.
Yeah. An aubergine.
Yeah.
James's mum used to use the aubergine because she likes aubergine. She so she'd like be like, aubergine. Want to come over for dinner? Aubergine, aubergine, aubergine. You'd be like, Debbie, sweetheart. And that's not what that
does
means.
Does someone have to tell her? What did she say?
She was like, that's not what I mean. And we were like, no, we know. Thank God. But like, you can't do that.
Oh, fine.
Because she'd be like, we're having aubergine bake. And you're like, Debbie, that's a very disturbing message to send to your son.
Stop sending him penises. Your father's ready for you. No, Daddy, no.
No, Daddy.
So, guys, that was around the world in, 79, but they fucked around days.
Yeah. 79, got yourself a wife days.
Yeah, exactly. And we will be taking a break for a couple of weeks. We're going to come back. I feel like if we took a break for 2 weeks, we come back the week before Easter. So are we going to come back after Easter? We probably should have discussed this before the episode.
I don't know. I have a very busy week next week, so we'll see.
Yeah, I think we might be back after Easter, guys, with...
So, it's going to get spooky. Well, I'm going to make it spooky because I'm going to cut out a lot of the fucking waffle about different types of beer and where it fucking came from.
Oh, yeah, I have to say... All right, you say what it is, then I'll say my bit.
We're going to dive into the world of Stephen King. I just think this is the first time we're diving into a living author.
Yeah, this is what I was going to say. So our thing is that we do dead authors. So do you want to get sued?
I want to go kill Stephen King.
But apparently we're just going out there now for the alive ones. Oh my God, if he dies, we didn't do it.
So we're going into the world of Stephen King with Pet Sematary.
Dilly-dilly.
And We were going to wait for this one.
Cemetery, because it's spelt wrong.
Cemetery, yes it is. Mm. We were going to wait for this one until he, you know, fucking popped his clogs.
But some people are fucking immortal.
Some people are immortal.
Oh my God, there are some people in the home, for people that don't work, no, I work in an old people's home. They're immortal. Ooh. There's a woman that's over 100, and not to be horrible, but like, how is she alive? Like, you know,
she's like an old lobster.
She looks dead. There's like, a few people that look dead.
Like, what was it? Was it Philip who looked dead? King, not King Philip.
Oh, Prince Philip. Yeah, exactly.
He was dead and just being propped up.
Yeah, and you're just like, and there's another one, and you're like, sorry, what is keeping you alive?
Mm.
Like,
there is a particular scene in Pet Sematary, because I wasn't going to do it until the old man kicked his clogs, but there is one scene I was like, nah.
Mm.
It's not fair to keep it from you guys.
Yeah, we've got to share this.
You've got to share the crazy and the boring.
Can't you share?
With that is Pet Sematary. Because that book is nearly 500 pages long. And there are about 7 good sentences.
Amazing.
All right.
I can't wait. And I won't tell you now, guys, but the next one I've got lined up. I'm not ready yet, but I've heard good things. Mm. We've got some good reads on the way, guys.
Yeah, so tell your friends. Tell them to get invested now.
Yeah, get involved. And if there's anything you'd like to suggest as well, by all means, drop us a message.
Yeah,
we love hearing from you. Thank you for all your support. It's been wonderful. I've had some wine.
She's going to cry now, so we're going to...
You all don't realize what special people you are.
We're going to end there, guys. We'll see you next time. Goodbye. We're on out. Good night.
Bye. For fuck's sake. Bye.